and after the time of when the church was started is when this passage comes about. And what John, who was one of the disciples, what he was saying is that we heard, we saw, we experienced, we touched firsthand Jesus Christ. And what John was saying is that we have intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is not just some kind of 1 + 1 = 2. This is legitimate knowledge, intimate knowledge, relational knowledge. And one of the things that was going on in this passage is that there was a false teaching that was arising that Jesus was not an actual fleshly body. He was not a man. He was like a ghost. And so he was speaking against the Gnostics of that day. But what John is saying is, we knew him, we know him. And what he's saying is that we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. We're bringing it to you what we actually know, we declare. We want to make him known to you is what basically John is saying in this little passage here that we have. And we're here to speak it to anyone who will listen. We're here to share it with anyone that will take the time to understand our message. And what he was saying is, we're here to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. And then I like at the end, the little phrase at the end, he says, we say these things, we present this to make our joy complete. So there's actually a little formula going on here. And if you'll put that up there on the screen, please. There's a little formula. It's kind of like this. It goes like this. It's knowing Christ. You need to know Christ. When you know Christ, you've experienced him, when you have intimate knowledge of him, that leads to something. It leads to proclaiming Christ. When you have an experience with Jesus, when he saves you, when your sins are forgiven and he's showing up in your life in incredible ways, it leads you to proclaim Jesus. And proclaiming Jesus, sharing actually verbally and through your actions, those kinds of things, what does that lead to? What proclaiming leads to increasing levels of joy. Isn't that amazing? Now, that is what Genesis Church is all about. That's why we're here. That's why this church exists. It exists. Our mission together, collectively, is to know Jesus and to make him known. We exist together to know him more. We're striving to be more intimate with Jesus Christ and then also to bring that to other people. So, what we're going to do here, that's our mission, that's our shared mission. Now, how that's carried out in each church looks a little differently because we're from different towns. By the way, look up here. We're different people. Did you notice that? Like, do you want to switch hair, dudes? You're good. Okay. So we have different hairdos, we have different ages, we're different races, you know, and it's like, so as leaders, and then each of our churches have different people, so how we know Jesus and make him known is going to look different. It's not going to be carbon copy. This isn't like going to a church conference, learning how to do something, and then try to do it here exactly the same way. And so in each of our towns, what this looks like, this is our mission that we had up on the screen, to know Christ and to make him known. But our vision is more contextual. It's more each church is coming up with their own vision. So we're going to take a minute and just share that. So I'm going to start with Nathan. Nathan, tell us about Genesis Boyne. How in Genesis Boyne are we carrying out the mission together of knowing Christ and making him known? What does that look like in Boyne?
Well, for us, it turned into just kind of a search for the specific wording of it. Like, how do we play that out over the course of the next years of Genesis Boyne? And so the way that we landed with it was Genesis Boyne is a contemporary church that engages families through fellowship, discipleship, and outreach. And so then it's like, okay, well, that's a great bunch of words, but how in the world does it play itself out? And so we were looking at it and saying, okay, a contemporary church, that gives us a specific niche in our community. We are the only contemporary church in Boyne City. So you have the church with the pipe organs, you have the church that meets on Saturday. We are the, if you want to go to a contemporary church, you're going to be looking at Genesis Boyne. Then that engages families. And so for us, that means families. Families mean children. And so for us, that really looks like attempting to have just an excellent children's ministry, and hopefully one day the best children's ministry in Boyne. So then you're looking at a contemporary church that engages families through fellowship. And that's looking at men's, we have men's euchre, just where we can hang out. We have women's arts and crafts night. And then in our small groups, one of the things that we do every semester is take some time off and just fellowship together, break bread together, hang out together, do communion together. And really, that brings us into our next part, through fellowship, discipleship. And small groups is our main avenue for that. That what we do is, for you guys, you do your next steps. Both you guys do your next steps here. You fill it out at the bottom of the card, and then you progress through it through the week. And what we've looked at is taking our next steps into our small groups and then saying, okay, you know, read this chapter, discuss this thing, talk with this person. We've moved that into our small group portion just to be able to communicate it on a little bit of a deeper level. And so it's kind of one of those things that we're looking at, how do we manage that? Like, how do we really help people grow in discipleship? And really the other part of our small groups is that once a semester, we have 12-week semesters, three semesters a year. And in those semesters, every single small group has to do an outreach, because that's our third part, through fellowship, discipleship, and outreach. And so we've kind of hashtagged it Genesis Loves Boyne. And the thing is, outreach, like, we've done small groups our entire existence. And one of the things that we have just excelled at is outreach from the very beginning. Like, we have worked hard over this last year to maintain that great tradition of just getting out into the community, loving the community, being there, and making sure that the community knows that it feels loved. And so even in the last 6 months, we've been doing, I mean, I think we've done probably 10, 11, 12 different outreaches in the last 6 months. I mean, everything from, see up there, we've got, we helped clean up the outside of one of the schools. We just did some nice outside renovations. We also did, when the school year started, we put candy bars and notes of encouragement into our teachers' boxes at school, each and every one of the teachers in the Boyne area, all four schools, I believe. We also did, just to say thank you, we did a huge hosting of like a Halloween carnival where all the kids came and we were able to just make hot dogs for the adults and give out prizes, and then also give out gift bags with just a little bit of information and have the chance to be amongst the community and talk to them. We had hundreds of people show up for that, which was just absolutely phenomenal. More than we were anticipating. We ran out of almost everything because it was like, oh, well, we'll have like 100 people. And then like 300 people later, you're like, oh, boy. And then really our other, we've done a ton. The last big one that we had done recently was the Boyne Area Community Christmas. And it's just for us contributing just whatever we could, socks and cereal and apples and just man hours and putting them in a box together and just making sure that those families in the Boyne area that are in need, that they have something for Christmas. And so it's just been a ton of different ways for us that it's the tip of that outreach and evangelism iceberg. And really, it all boils down to us getting out and showing that Genesis loves Boyne and to live out the vision that we have in Boyne City. And so...
So did you just share some of your celebration stuff? Because that's some stuff to really celebrate.
I kind of snuck a little bit in there because there was too much to celebrate in the back half. Okay. So I was like, I'll just put some in the front half.
But, you know, let's give Glory to God with some claps. I mean, just over, you know, the celebration of that, those things that, you know, action steps, you know, fruit and seeing it happen and bringing that understanding of Christ to that community.
Well, and the thing is, really just taking inspiration from our past, taking inspiration from you guys on outreach and evangelism. And Will, I know you guys have just been killing it with evangelism recently. Like, it's just been so cool.
Yeah, so in Harbor Springs, our vision really, and we say this before every gathering, is that we want to be a church that reproduces disciples who passionately follow Christ. And obviously that's not something we came up with. That was from the Great Commission. But what we've seen is that a lot of us, and I would raise my hand if I've ever been asked this question, is how comfortable are you sharing your faith with others? How comfortable are you just sharing God's, you know, what God has done in your life with others? And we found that, you know, even though we are very social, if you guys know anyone who comes to Genesis Harbor Springs, you know that we are social. We don't have problems walking up to strangers and meeting people or having people come up to us and randomly asking us to move them into a storage unit or whatever. So, but the challenge is like, how do we take all this relational equity that we have and translate that into something for the kingdom? And I noticed there was a fear even in me that, well, if I share my faith with this coworker, if I share my faith with this friend, what's going to happen with that relationship? Am I going to lose that relationship, and then I'm never going to be able to help lead them to Christ? So what we did is we embarked on a journey back in August to really figure out how can we be more comfortable sharing our faith with others? How can we be more comfortable sharing God's story with others? And then on a regular basis, how can we be better disciples? And what I mean by that, when you define a disciple, how we define a disciple at Genesis is someone who is in a process of submitting more and more to the will and mission of God. We can come and we can know a lot about Christ. We can know a lot about God and what he wants for our lives. But the second part of that is how much of that are we obeying? So we wanted to get into a regular process of not just knowing God, not just knowing what he wants for us, but actually obeying it and then taking it one step further and looking at how much of that are we spreading, how much of that are we sharing. And so a big thing that our groups do that meet on a weekly basis is we keep each other accountable on, you know, how much, you know, when was the last time you shared your story? Or do you have anything that God was asking you to do this week that you did or didn't do? And how can we help you be more obedient to do that in the coming weeks? So really our goal is to, internally become better disciples and really focus on evangelism and sharing our story and God's story with others and spreading his word as much as we can.
Yeah, yeah.
How's it playing out in Petoskey, Norm?
Well, it's not. No, I'm just kidding. No, we've been on a journey, since the inception of Genesis. One of the things that we really realized is that our vision was for making disciples and planting churches, and that's a general vision that needed to be more thought out and more contextualized, more specific to here, and that's why you guys are doing what you're doing. So this is what we've come up with. We love our town. We love Petoskey. We love living here. We love this town. And when I say we, I'm talking about the leadership of Genesis Petoskey. We love our town, and we believe that the gospel is the only solution to the brokenness and the emptiness that we all experience without Christ. Therefore, we envision God using us to raise up 300 families that will be Christ-centered, which means this: they will know their call and they will be fully, wholly invested into it. So that's our 10-year vision. God has laid on our hearts, and so we're working through the parts of it to get us there, okay? But it's all about this. It's all about helping followers of Jesus that are in this church get deeper in their faith and get them equipped so that they go out and bring the message of Christ in all of their circles, all out there. I mean, if you imagine however many people we have and you draw a circle around each person, there's probably at least 20 people in each person. So we need to prepare them to go into their circles and to share the gospel and to live the gospel out. So this vision, our vision here with Genesis Petoskey, it's a qualitative vision. It's not a quantitative. We're not trying to build a mega church. We're trying to equip people to go out there and start fires all over our town in a good way. Good fires, not bad fires. So
I don't like fires.
So anyway, that's a little bit. So we're going to take a second and just celebrate some things that are happening. Nathan already did a little bit, so we'll let him do a little bit more. It's okay. And then, but Will, what can you celebrate? So you've kind of laid out your vision for evangelism and preparation, which I'm going to share a little bit about how you're helping us. But what can you celebrate? You know, it's sort of, we can talk about things, we can idealize about things, but what's happening? What fruit can we look at and say, look, this is what, not us, this is what God is doing through us. What can you celebrate?
Sure. Yeah, so since September, we actually have, am I saying, five groups, is that correct? Five groups that are currently meeting during the week that are reaching people, some that don't come to Genesis, some who may never even walk through the doors of our church.
By the way, you can say woo-hoo if you want, or, you know, yeah, you know, or...
But these
or just
are
set there.
Yeah, but I'm not celebrating the groups as much as I am the leaders and the people that are involved in those groups that have kind of taken a step of faith to jump out and do that. The other thing is that just, you know, I think sometimes we don't celebrate the small wins enough. And something that's just been just kind of getting me excited all week is Holly and I lead a group on Monday night, and it's mostly young couples who we've had the opportunity to walk through premarital counseling with. And I'd say about half the group maybe is followers of Christ. The other half is on the fence, or maybe even, I don't say adversarial, but definitely not there. And we had the opportunity just to simply share God's story this week with the group and just talk about that a little bit. And by the end of the night, one of the people in our group who I would say was kind of more on the skeptical or adversarial side said, how do I talk to God? And that was just a real small thing. He asked, you know, how do I talk to God? I want to talk to God. And, you know, we walked through that, and that, you know, just all week has been something that if I were to think back, you know, a year ago, this person, I would have said, there's no way that this person would ever be to this point. But I think when, you know, and I almost didn't even invite them to our group because I was afraid that they'd say no. But I think that those little things, and they're similar stories in the other groups, just of, you know, what happens when you just take a step of faith and share your story or share God's story. Little things, God, you know, shines little lights. I was listening to, I don't know, how many of you guys listen to Jesus Culture, the band? Yeah, so I was actually, so I had to, before we came here, I had to drive to Traverse City and drive back, so I was listening to music in the car, and one of the songs is called Let It Echo, and the opening line says, we've only scratched the surface and only had just a glimpse. We've tasted of his glory, but there's so much more. And I think if you look at everything that's happened in Genesis Church over the last 10 or 15, how many years? Since you guys started, 12 years. I think we've just only scratched the surface. And when you see like little glimpses of God break through someone's life, it lights a fire inside you. And I want everyone to be able to experience that in some way, shape, or form. And that's what I love to get to do with our leaders is for them to have moments where they get to see that. Because that, me, you know, standing up front yelling at them, telling them to do something is not the greatest motivator. Yeah. But you get a little glimpse of that, and that will drive you for a long time.
Well, and that's what that passage was talking about. We share it to make our joy complete.
Absolutely.
And we think, no, I share it, and then life is rough. No, it will make your joy complete. So, Nathan, what else can you celebrate?
Yeah, and Will, I mean, you guys have been so inspiring for our church that we've been, over the past couple of weeks, just working on, you know, getting your story, being able to share it, being able to, you know, where were you, where, what happened, where are you now, and those type of things, and hopefully, you know, it grows from there. But yeah, what you guys have been doing has just been absolutely phenomenal. And so, yeah, for us, Norm's correct, I might have snuck a couple of the celebration things in on the first
episode. It's okay.
And we had so many. And so, no, it's like, there have been so many cool things that have happened. I mean, 2017 for us was really kind of had one big goal, which was to kind of figure out a direction, get some good stability on where we wanted to go 2018 and beyond. And I mean, that kind of culminated with the vision, which we just talked about. And really, the other big things that kind of came with was some leadership, especially we have our first official elder team. And it's like, that is so incredibly exciting because, man, it's hard to do it when it's just you. And it's like, I'm a dummy. I don't want to start making those decisions on my own. And so now I've got some people who they can tell me I'm a dummy, and I just listen to them and they, you know, kind of let them roll with it. And my goal is, as much as possible, just to support them as they lead the church. And so, you know, it's exciting to see that. It's exciting to see the fact that now we have ministry leaders in every area. We finally have ministry leaders in every area that we need, well, I mean, every ministry that we have. And so being able to see them get encouraged and get inspired and start then it paying itself forward into what that looks like for volunteers. And so, I mean, even it's, that's been paying dividends. It's kind of this progression of just like seeing God. It's like one step moves to the next step. And then just like children's, we talked about families, engaging families. And for us, children's, once we moved into, okay, these are the roles, this is where we're going with it, we're going to go full-time, and a little bit of a risky thing, but we went full-time children's, excuse me, over the past 6 months, our children's ministry has grown by 30%. And it's just like, holy moly. Now our adults haven't grown, which means now all of a sudden sometimes we have as many kids out back as we do adults up front, but that's cool.
They're taking over the world.
They're taking over. Eventually we'll be in the back in the little classrooms and they'll be up front doing dancing and singing and all that good fun stuff. And it's just like, that's cool to me to see the fact that engaging those families, they're like, no, let's take the kids. Let's take them. And the kids are like, we want to go to church. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what we want. And for us, then the next step of that culminated in going for Christmas Eve. That we just had this crazy fun Christmas Eve with the children's play, and we had in the bottom right corner that the school wouldn't let us do candlelight because they were afraid we were going to burn the place down. And so we instead got 200 glow sticks. And just everybody got glow sticks and lightsabers because, I mean, come on, lightsabers. And it was just like, it was one of our biggest attended services like in the history of our church. It's just people getting a good family atmosphere and getting in there and engaging in the gospel. And we made sure it's like, we're going to present the gospel every single chance that we get. And we did. And then building on top of that, you get the next celebration of some of the families stuck. And it's great to think about the fact you get these kind of Easter Christmas Eve people, and all of a sudden you've got three more families that were like, no, actually, we're going to start coming back, and we're going to start engaging. And so it's one of those things that they're sticking, and had a lot of people have said, this is a really friendly church. And that's the biggest encouragement to me, because I've told our congregation multiple times, I would rather have people be like, you guys are a little creepy friendly, than have nobody say anything to them at all. And so, honestly, we've had a couple of people who, by the time I got to them, they were like, your church is a little too friendly. And I'm like, awesome. We're the creepy church. That's good. So, yeah, I mean, it has been so cool. It's kind of seeing step by step by step. And I mean, I'm excited about where 2018 is going to go. And I mean, no. Honestly, we're not blowing up numerically in the same way, especially you guys are, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's just like, it's been really cool, and I know mm-hmm. I'm almost nervous to ask you how, like, to yeah. celebrate, because yeah. we only have, like, another 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And,
like,
30 the things seconds I've got here, so.
And go.
Okay, yeah, yeah, well, no, I mean, I praise God for yeah. what's happening in both of your churches. Yeah, let's do that real quick here, so. Because of how God has uniquely blessed us and opportunities that God has given us here in Petoskey, some of you know we're constructing the Genesis Center right now, and it's about 4 months from completion, and I think we have one picture. We don't have an exterior picture. There's some workers. That's the lobby area. You can go to another picture. That's kind of where everybody will hang out, and it's a multi-purpose room. But the Genesis Center's on budget. We praise the Lord for that. Let's give God a big hand for that. Keep praying, because that can change. That building, when I think of it, I want you to know that I believe that it is a standing and open invitation to our community, to Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that. We have thousands of people, hundreds of families that drive, you know, on this campus that the church building is on, in case you didn't know. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come in and, you know, use the facility for free throughout the week. We're going to have lots of things going on. And to come into a gathering and hear about Christ overtly. And it's a training place to send our people out back into the community, as we've said. So I'm praising God for the progress on that. I get people that come up to me and say, are you excited? I'm like, yeah, I'm a little bit excited. You know, it's going to be great. But I'm more excited about equipping followers to go back out there and to bring the gospel, like we said earlier, help other people to know Christ. And so we're designing, in that 10-year vision that I shared with you, we're designing our equipping strategy right now. We're in R&D, research and development. So Will is coming over beginning April 15th, and we're going to be doing some training for anyone in the Genesis Petoskey family that would like to potentially be a leader of a small group, a big life group. We're looking at what does it look like to engage us as a corporate body in equipping to share your faith and to share God's story and to study the Bible inductively and things like that. So those are some things that are in R&D, but I'm praising the Lord for where we're at and where we're headed. And tonight we have a baptism we're going to have. You're going to see a video here in just a few moments here. Four men that are getting baptized. You're going to see Wade and Jay, Bill and Bob up on the screen. So I just praise the Lord for that. And so at this time, I want you to just kind of chill for a minute. We've got a video that's going to come up here. But it's a way, it's another way for you to think about how you can help Christ to be known through a ministry called Safe Families. And it's one thing that we can do together as one church. So we're going to go ahead and show this, and then we're going to have a couple ladies talk about it in just a moment. Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, that's better. So I actually used to work in foster care long ago before I had kids of my own. And so working with kind of hurting and broken families has always been a passion of mine. But I think in that experience, one thing I came to say was just, I am happy to do this. I love meeting with the kids once a month and kind of connecting with them, or some of them was once a week. But it felt totally different to bring a child into my own home. And I always said, I will never. I could never. Good for you, foster parents, because I could never. And that was always kind of my mantra. And then I don't know what happened, but within the last couple of years, God really got a hold of my heart, as he often does, and reaches those I will never places. And so I really felt like I was coming to a place of where I couldn't just ignore the need anymore. I couldn't just pretend that there weren't needs in our community even. And so we went to a meeting just to find out some more about what I thought was kind of help care for orphans. And it turned out the speaker ended up speaking mostly about Safe Families, and it was a program I had never heard of before. But there were some other people from Genesis there, and we talked at the end of the night, and we all just kind of felt like, you know what, this is something we have to do. We have to get involved with this. It just made a lot of sense to us. And with my experience in foster care before, I'd seen a lot of the brokenness in the system, and I'd seen the hurt that comes even with being placed in foster care. So I thought, you know, it makes perfect sense to me to get involved in a way that kind of is a proactive step to keep that from happening. So that was the initial, I guess, start of how we got involved. But I loved the fact that it was something that we could do as a family. Like, we were involved in different ministries within the church, but this felt like something that we could serve in as a family, and we could all contribute. And my kids are some of the biggest parts of that, and it's been a blessing to see them get involved and serve in that capacity too. So did that answer your question?
Right, so if you couldn't hear me before, Allison is the liaison, so if you're interested in getting involved in Safe Families, you can talk to her. You can talk to us outside after the service, after the baptism. There are three informational meetings. I'm not sure if we can get that slide up. One of them is this Thursday at Jacob and my house here just across the street, thankfully. And then we have two more following right after that. And then just real quick, if anybody has been involved in Safe Families, could you just stand up right now? We want people to see you, because if for some reason they can't catch Allison or myself, look around and just see who you can talk to learn more about getting involved. Thank you.
The mic thing. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much, ladies. Please grab your connection cards here tonight, and the band's going to come in right now, and we're going to sing a couple songs. We want to encourage you to take a faith step, but I want your attention because there's some special people here tonight that I want you to meet, and I want to tell you that I benefited from a Safe Family, Norm Byers. I benefited from a safe family. A family took me in when I was in eighth grade. I was a snotty-nosed eighth grader. I was a troublemaker. I was headed for a lot of trouble. And I want to introduce you to Paul and Jeannie Powell. Stand up. They're right over here. And if you don't mind, give them a hand if you can. They took me in, and they've loved me. And so I put that out there because it may not be for you, but it may be for you. And God may use you, and you can get up to speed on the information about it again out at the Info Center or talking to those people. So at this point, I just want to encourage you to fill out your connection card. The band's going to play here, then we're going to collect them in just a moment. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this night. Thank you, Lord, that we've had a few different elements. We still got a little more to go here, but Lord, maybe your Spirit is speaking to someone here tonight. Maybe your Holy Spirit is prompting us, someone that's a follower of Jesus, to take a risk, to you know, dive in, you know, to help someone know Christ more. Maybe that's it, or to be a part of Safe Families. I don't know what it may be, but I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will continue to work throughout the rest of this service, and that we will all, those that follow Jesus, those that follow you here tonight, that we will all take significant steps of faith in these days to come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.